So here's the story. When this universe developed, first everything was empty sky. From the sky's emptiness, the wind element, normally called the wind mandala, developed. Mandala can sometimes refer to part of the environment, this word mandala. The wind element pervades everywhere. You're okay so far, aren't you? But listen to this. It is not like normal light wind, but it is hard and solid, and is like a basic foundation. I'm still working on this. The wind element is hard and solid, like a basic foundation. Okay, so you think about this. What does that mean? In some scriptures, there are descriptions of the shape of the wind mandala. So you can find that in Essence of Vajrayana. And it even gives measurements. Although in reality, it pervades the whole of space. So Geshe-la's telling us not to worry about the details. Just get this vast wind mandala, which is hard and solid. Upon the wind mandala, from the letter Ram, comes the fire element, which pervades the entire wind. Is anyone listening to me, by the way? You're listening, okay? Am I going too slowly for you? For your rapidly accelerating minds? Am I taking this too slowly? Shall I speed up to catch up with you? I could just spend all day on one sentence for personal. Wow, that's incredible. So you've got this wind, they've got the wind mandala, okay? It's actually semicircular, it's a semicircle. So it's a big semicircular shape with a line. And then two flags, gigantic flags, one on either end. Waving flags. Wind mandala. Upon the wind mandala, from the letter Ram, came the fire element, which pervades the entire wind mandala. So it's almost as big. And it also is like a basic foundation. Upon that, from the letter Bam, came the water element. So this is the world we're in now. So the world was like a vast ocean. Upon that, from Lam, came the earth element, which is square and yellow. Then mountains, trees, and everything else developed. So that's the whole theory of evolution gone out the window. And then beings from other realms, such as the form and formless realms. They died and were reborn in this earth, on this earth. And then living beings developed. This is how this world and its beings developed. It's a very simple, very quick explanation. But anyway, he doesn't say here, but in some scriptures you can find these beings in the form and formless realms, okay? These are beings who have got huge merit. They're still in samsara. But in the form and formless realms, they use up their merit. They use it up. They just enjoy. It's blissful. Just blissing out. And they, because they still have desirous attachment, they develop a desire to experience the senses, pleasures of the senses. In the form and formless realms, they're just experiencing mental bliss. They don't have any sense organs. They don't have any physical bodies. But they still have this attachment. So they die, and then they take rebirth in a place where they've got these organs, a nose, got a tongue, eyes, you know, got the body. So we have these, basically they're impediments, but, you know, these things that can give us the pleasures of the senses. So they're kind of fallen from the upper realms into this realm, the human realm, these creatures. That's who we are, all these beings. We develop from these. Anyhow, but this world and the beings in it that we normally see do not exist. Therefore, we should check carefully how they develop. For example, this is the important bit. Where does the wind mandala come from? It comes from emptiness, symbolized by the letter Yam. in the book somewhere, you know, letter Yam, it's a Tibetan letter, Yam, one letter. The wind mandala comes from its name. The wind that we normally see does not exist, because there is no wind other than its emptiness. Wind is mere name. Where does the mere name wind come from? It develops, or it comes from letters such as Yam. We say from Yam comes wind. This indicates that wind is only a mere name. So please hang on with me here. Don't sort of say, a lot of rubbish. This is Geshe-la speaking. He's telling us the truth. So we've just got to stay with this. And if we don't understand it, at least appreciate it's coming from a being, an understanding that we can't yet get. He says, at first, perhaps it's a bit difficult to understand this, that, you know, water comes from its name. Wind comes from its name, Yam. From Yam comes wind. He said, you may need to understand some technical things at this point. For example, mount that we normally see does not exist. I think he wanted to say mountain, but mountain's a long word, so he just said mount. From mount that we normally see does not exist because there is no mount other than emptiness. Mount is only a mere name. We need to be satisfied with the mere name, mount, and not think that there is a mount more than just the mere name. The name mount comes from letters. M, O, U, this is for you can't spell, N, and T. Sorry, I'm joking. Okay, the word mount comes from these letters, M-O-U-N-T. M is a letter, O is a letter, U is a letter, N is a letter, T is a letter. You've got this feeling like you're back in kindergarten or something. Your teacher's teaching you how to speak. From these, the name mount develops. And so the name mount is a collection of letters. Okay? Because in reality, the letters M, O, U, N, and T are speech. The name mount is also speech. The M we see written down on paper is not the real letter M, but it is the basis of imputation for the letter M. M. The real M is speech. From letters comes names. From names come phrases. And from phrases develop all forms of communication, such as books and so forth. In reality, all of these are a person's speech.